This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I am one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
You know, I got the thumbs up sign from you. The thumbs up sign from Marika. I gave the thumbs up sign. And I took a big swig of water here before the show started.
Tom.
A silly mistake.
First of all, you're drinking beer.
What? Who? Somebody switched this out.
In full disclosure, I think our audience deserves to know. How many beers have you had today?
This is my third beer. It's fine.
Okay. I mean, that's like... We're just getting started.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. We're just getting started. I might have five or six.
Okay. Well, hey, look, your funeral.
It's my first beer of the podcast.
Sure.
It's my third beer within like a half hour.
Okay. How you doing this week, Tim?
I'm good. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well. I'm tickled. Tickled.
Pink?
Pink? Where does that come from? If somebody tickles you so hard that your belly turns all pink?
Yeah, but if anything, you turn red. You would think it'd be, I'm tickled red.
Yeah, I'm tickled until I have scratches all over my belly.
Well, that's not tickling, then.
Tickling
scratching.
A belly isn't funny, right? Like, that doesn't elicit laughter, right?
For me, it's sides.
Yeah, you know what? Tickling just stinks.
Oh,
nobody tickles.
You and me both. I'm on the same page.
I just don't like to be tickled, which nobody likes to be... Nobody likes to be tickled. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to be startled. Oh, I'll do a prank. I'll startle someone.
Yeah. Save it for the haunted house, pal.
Yeah. Or stay away from the haunted house. It's haunted, for Christ's sakes.
Well, yeah. And they like to startle you in there.
Yeah. Scares. Thrills and chills.
I'm ticklish in my sides, the behind my knees.
Okay.
And the bottom of my feet and under my arms, my armpits.
I can't believe you're disclosing this all your enemies.
Yeah, oh God, bleep all this out. Oh, no.
Yeah, well, now you'll be vulnerable to
attack.
Yeah,
and I've already made it very clear that I hate being tickled.
Yeah.
I think I could be...
Honestly, you're tickling someone else. Get something. Get a hobby. Get a clue.
Yeah, get a life.
Get a life, you loser.
I think I could be tickled into like confessing to a crime I didn't commit.
Yeah. Oh, it's not like we were, it's like that. That's it's not enjoyable. It's not like laughing.
Tickle people?
Rich Little does his Nixon impression.
Rich Little. Do they ever tickle people to like get confessions out of them, like the cops?
I think in like Muppet, maybe in like the Great Muppet Caper, they did that.
Yeah. I'd rather get like water torture than tickle torture.
Okay, noted. Tom, we, as the audience can tell, as I can smell on you, we were at a bar before we came here. A pleasant outdoor bar.
Yeah, it was very nice. Beautiful day here in New York City.
I had, I slowly sipped a beer. You chugged two beers.
So I had one beer more than you.
Yeah.
And I had gotten there earlier.
100% more beers than I had. And so we're sitting outside. A two top, is that what they call it? Tube top?
Yeah, a tube top. A two-person table.
Yeah. I wish it was, the table is like 10% larger than it was. Kind of rickety too.
Yeah,
like
my problem is mostly with the unevenness.
Yeah,
you know, these tables where it's like, boy, you put an arm on this table, it's gonna go all over the place.
Exactly.
Like a goddamn seesaw.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is the sidewalk.
Yeah,
you know, but you gotta figure this out. There was a woman at a two-seater table sitting alone reading a book. She was behind you.
Okay.
You couldn't see her. I could see her. She's reading a book. at a bar. You think that's a thing that losers do. I recognize that as usually a thing that somebody who's waiting for someone does.
I do not think it's a thing losers do. And you have gotten real mad at me when I've told you that I've like been at a bar reading my Kindle. You're like, oh, like, no, you can read a book at a bar, but not a Kindle.
I've said that?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like me. So there's a woman there. You got up to go get yourself another beer.
I got up to close the tab.
And
they were like, there's not enough beers on here. You need to have one more, sir. We're sorry.
Oh, wow. You did it, too.
And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can have another one. They were like, well, unfortunately, it's the law. Well, and he already had 9-1 dialed.
Okay.
His finger was right
on
the
fine.
One.
Yeah, yeah. The cops are going to come.
They're going to make me drink the beer either way.
Yeah, they're going to be like, do it.
Do it.
They're going to tickle you till your belly turns
do
all
it or,
red.
Do it or we'll tickle you.
Yeah. So you're inside. Uh-huh. I'm all alone. I see this woman reading a book. And then this other woman, a friend I learned of this woman.
A friend of yours?
No,
of
the woman.
The woman, okay.
Goes up to the woman who's reading, and it becomes clear they were there to like hang out or whatever,
yeah.
To see a movie upstairs. It was also a movie theater. Like, mm-hmm. Long story. But the woman...
Not that long. That about summed it up.
The new woman came up to the woman reading the book and tapped her and went, come here often? And the woman reading the book laughed like this was the funniest thing. She laughed for a solid, like, 20 seconds, just like, and the other woman, like, didn't know what to do, so she started laughing, too, like, hey, yeah, jokes, and she wrote, like,
she started writing furiously in her journal.
She's like, I wrote it down. She went, oh, that was great. That was a great joke.
What? Tim, were these plants?
What do you think was going on there?
Oh.
It was like this woman like lost her mind at her friend
at the
coming
dumbest
up.
Joke.
Hey, come here. She wasn't even trying to make her laugh.
Yeah.
Like you just go.
It was just a way of saying hello.
I was very confused. So it was a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman said, I'm going to run upstairs and grab
Watch
a ticket.
Movie.
Grab a ticket for the movie. And the woman, the woman reading the book was like, okay. And then, like, the woman left.
Then
and
just
I,
said, can I buy you a drink? And boy, that set her off again.
This woman looked, like, when she was just sitting there alone, just, like, looking and, like, smiling, like, clearly reflecting on what
on
a great
the,
joke that
joke
was.
She had
just
heard.
Like, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life, Tom.
Yeah, I came back from the bar, and you were grinning ear to ear, and you were like, I have something to talk about up top.
Nobody says that to get a laugh, right?
You do it to get like a chuckle.
Yeah.
Maybe. Hey, come here often. Oh, it's you again. You again. But no, not a big crowd pleaser.
Yeah.
That kind of joke.
So that explains why Amy came out of screaming at that woman.
Wow. Oh, no.
Man, that wasn't funny.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that does explain why you were screaming at that
one. No,
woman.
I don't like when people laugh at things that I don't think are funny.
See,
I don't like when people like
said,
things
give you
that I don't
to laugh
like
about.
Or don't like things that I do like. It really gets my goat.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that used to be true about me.
Yeah.
I don't care. I eat these sweet green
Tim,
salads.
I've tried to tell you about like three things today where you've just stared blankly at me and then gone, why the hell do you think I would care?
Yeah, exactly. But like, that's fine.
Maybe to you.
Like, I eat these sweet green salads a lot, Tom. Uh-huh. I like going to the salad place and everybody's like, oh, it's so expensive. And then like, there's somebody at work is like, oh, you eat sweet green all the time? I don't like it. It's too expensive. And I was just like, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling me what you don't like.
Yeah. What did you say? Well, thank you very much, but I'm too rich to care.
I was just like, all right, how about we, like, you don't like a thing I like. Don't need to tell me. Yeah. Everybody thinks they need to tell each other what they like and what they
It's the internet. It's done that to everyone.
Yeah.
Take it from us two guys that just basically do a show about what we like and
if
don't
If you
like.
Want to talk about your opinions, get a goddamn podcast.
Yeah, we've been saying it for years. That's what they're for. Otherwise, keep it to yourself.
I think...
You should have told that person that said they didn't like sweet green because it was too expensive. Have you tried eating cat food? It's cheap as shit.
Why would I say that?
I don't know. Let's put them in their place.
It was a cat that told me that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they probably would have unironically just been like, I have.
Do you have any?
I like the Fancy Feast brand. What does it taste like?
I don't think cats
fish
actually
bones?
Like... Yeah, cats like fish bones. They don't like... If you give
a cat can't survive on bones alone.
No, well, they want the bones to come out...
But they want the fish.
They want the
fish.
And
they pull the bone out of their mouth.
Yeah, they don't want to eat the bones. But right. They'll lick the bones.
Yeah, because it's still got that
fishy
flavor
taste,
over it.
Yeah. You can't... It's hard to get the smell of fish off fish bones.
You scrub and you scrub and you scrub. Yeah. And still smell that famous fishy scent.
That we all know.
Of a fish.
Oh, what were you about to say before I interrupted about cat food?
I'm often... trying to say things and you interrupt inane things. I was about to tell you something.
Life-changing.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll keep it to myself.
Good.
Tom.
Yeah.
This week, we're going to change things up a little bit on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We're usually joking around, a couple jokesters.
It's a regular yuck fest.
Yeah, hey, we're here to escape the world. This is classic escapism. Classic Harry Houdini style escaping.
Yeah, putting your head in the sand.
Yeah,
like
it's
an ostrich.
We're happy to oblige.
Yeah.
You want to talk about, I don't know, Cheez-Its? What are we usually talking about?
Usually
on this
it's Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its, Goldfish crackers, other... Cheddar-based snack foods.
Yeah. Cheddar-flavored. They're more cheddar-flavored than based.
I mean, they're based on the flavor of cheddar.
Well, that's true. But
I think we might be splitting
They're based on the idea of cheddar. They're not based on cheddar.
I mean, they're based on the taste of cheddar. Cheez-Its are made...
but they're not based on cheddar. Like, you're talking about based like a movie's based on a book.
What are you talking about? If
some food is based on something, then that means it has it as a base, that it has that as an ingredient inside of it.
You don't think cheddar goldfish has any cheddar in it?
I guarantee you it's like 20 ingredients down. It's not based on cheddar. It's cheddar added.
It's got cheddar right in the goddamn name.
And actually, I don't even know if it does. I wouldn't bet my life that it even does have cheddar on it.
I wouldn't bet my life on anything, even if I was sure on it. Sure about it, because, Tom, life is precious.
What if you could win a lot, though, in return?
Like how much?
Double or nothing, two lives.
Oh, man. I don't know. Would you get to choose? Would I get to choose when I could live?
No.
I don't want to be like, hey, guess what, Tim? You're going to die in, like, 2050 or whatever. But then you have to start living again in 2050. Like, no, I don't want to do that.
It'll
just confuse me.
I'm thinking it's like Super Mario Brothers. Like you die and it goes ba dum ba dum bum, and then like you immediately come back
as a baby.
No, as you. You're invincible for like 5 or 10 seconds.
That's good.
And then your life starts again. You start at the last flagpole that you.
Oh, so you get one death. You get an extra death.
You don't get an extra life.
You don't get
to
like.
In video games, you call it an extra life.
Yeah, but like, if we're talking like, if I died and I was 80 years old,
right.
I'd just be immediately resurrected as an 80 year old.
As an 80 year old, yeah.
And I'd just be like, just put me in the ground.
You'd be resurrected at the last flagpole you had touched.
Yeah. Okay. I touch a lot of flagpoles, Tom. Well, so I probably wouldn't
safe.
Have to. Go. I probably wouldn't lose
Smart
too much
man.
Ground. Yeah.
Just in case, but you've got to lose.
I mean, we don't teach kids the real important things: personal finance, how to cook healthy food on a budget,
and to
always touch flagpoles as you pass
case.
Them. No, we're switching things up.
I was reading.
Enough of this frivolity, Tom. Well, what were you reading?
I was reading about flagpole sitters the other day.
Really?
Yeah. It was a big fad in the 20s.
I know. Harvey Danger wrote a whole song about
it. Yeah. But that was much later. That was 70 years later.
Don't you wish the Harvey Danger song was just called Flagpole Sitter, not Flagpole Sitta?
I mean, I don't really care.
I think about that all the time. It's like, guys, this could have been one for the ages, and it's almost one for the ages.
Well, in my book, it is one for the ages.
It is one for the ages, but Sitta, it's like, it was like the whole...
It's not going to age well.
Yeah, it was like the whole late 90s, early 2000s trend of like rock bands being like, hey, let's co-opt our understanding of hip-hop culture. Yeah. And it's like, nah.
Hey, do you know instead of saying gangster, they say gangsta?
Yeah, and Martha Stewart's like, bling, bling.
Yeah.
Shut up, Martha Stewart. You could have been so cool if you just shut
I like
up and
smoking
iced that
dope.
Yeah. I mean, she does, but it's for cataracts.
Yeah, but keep it to
whatever.
Yourself.
What is it? Glaucoma.
Oh, I thought it was just she likes getting blazed.
Yeah, she's cool. Yo, Martha Stewart, though, she's cool. I like her.
She's friends with Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg, the real, the
Boy,
toughest man on earth.
Talking about a man that likes to get blazed, huh?
Yeah, he does.
I don't know if you've heard this, but Snoop Dogg likes to smoke marijuana.
I know. He raps about it all the time. I mean, his rap songs.
He raps about it, and he says it in commercials for unrelated products.
Yeah, when, like, America Online was like, here's Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg. Isn't this weird? I was like, just kill me now. This is why it's only going to get worse, is what I thought at the time. And it's only getting worse.
You're like, it's 1995, and already we got this shit to deal with.
Yeah. Tom?
Uh-huh.
I like Snoop Dogg. If that, yeah, I don't want to start a feud here.
Right. You don't want to get...
Resurrect the old East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and we're on the East Coast, so we better be careful.
Yeah.
We don't want to get thrown into all that business again.
I don't want Suge Knight to hold me over a balcony by my ankles.
Yeah, make me sign a contract.
Give me all the royalties to the Complete Guide to Everything episode.
Back
about.
Catalog.
Yeah. Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Quit joking around. We got to be serious.
Yeah.
Because this is a serious topic we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
These days, things are getting a little heavy.
Yeah.
And I think it's time we address...
A lot going on in the world.
Yeah. And let's address things seriously for once as we talk about the current political climate. In America and abroad, really.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No. Tenuous.
Yeah, there's...
At best.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a time in my life where I've felt this troubled by like large external forces.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you call the Disney cartoon characters? This is a little bit of a tangent.
Okay.
Because like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Goofy, Minnie Mouse, Pluto,
yeah,
Daisy Duck.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? The guy that was mean to Mickey Mouse, Ted or something.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
It's
not Ted, but it's something like Ted.
Tad?
Yeah, Tad, I think. What do you, because you can't just call them Disney cartoon characters.
Yeah,
because
that could
be, like,
be anybody.
It'd be Ariel.
Yeah.
Ariel?
Ariel.
Ariel.
Not
or,
Ariel.
Or it could be Simba.
Nowadays, it could be Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
It could be freaking Luke Skywalker.
Do we have a name for, is it like Mickey's Gang or something?
Well, that sounds too...
Yeah.
Like, look out, Mickey's Gang is, this is their territory.
Right.
I think it's like maybe classic Disney characters. Probably classic Disney characters.
Classic Disney characters.
Yeah.
Pete.
Because if
Pete,
that was his name. Yeah.
Man, what a weird name for, like, there's like Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Pluto. He's a dog, but he's named after a planet. And then
Peter
Pete,
the asshole.
Yeah, just a guy. Here's a guy named Pete. I think he's like a big, mean dog or something, but only vaguely.
He looks kind of like a mix between, yeah, I guess he looks like Goofy, like that type of dog.
Was he menacing old Steamboat Willie on that train?
Yeah, it was a steamboat.
Oh, my God. Tom, all this time, I thought of Steamboat Willie as a train picture.
Tim, need to get your fucking head examined.
I think I do. I think I agree with you on that one. I really thought they were on a train.
No, they were on a steamboat.
Well, I thought maybe his name was Steamboat Willie, but he was on land.
Well, you're already confused because you're like, well, it's Mickey, not Willie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like, I'm going to throw this whole title out.
Downtown Julie Brown sometimes ventured uptown, Tom.
Yeah.
That only didn't make her specials. Any less...
But she was still from downtown.
Yeah, so Steamboat Willie was from a steamboat? Born on a steamboat.
Well, it'd
but
be
then
very
now
confusing.
He became a train conductor, presumably.
It'd be very confusing to have the first appearance of Steamboat Willie to not take place on a steamboat.
Yeah,
it's
guess what?
It's asking a lot of the audience to...
Or
you
maybe
know,
it's a prequel.
Imagine
oh,
what's happened beforehand.
Yeah, Tom. Start off with a little bit of a mystery.
Yeah.
Walt Disney knew what he was doing.
Why is he called Steamboat Willie, but he's on a train?
Tom, do you think in the first Star Wars, they're like, here's Han Solo. Here's why he's called Han Solo. No.
Yeah, but
they explain that 40 years later in a very elegant, entertaining way in a completely separate
movie.
Yeah, but
the same as Han Solo, not Steamboat Solo.
No. Steamboat Willie was given his name at some point, for some reason,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know why.
It was at
we
the
presume
point,
it has something to do with a steamboat.
Yeah, because that's where the cartoon takes place.
But he's on a train now, and we'll never know.
No, I don't think there's a train. I'm pretty sure the entire short is contained to just a steamboat.
I guess this is one of those things that we'll just never know the answer to.
I guess so.
It's a classic Walt Disney mystery box.
Classic Disney characters.
Yeah.
I got to see, speaking of magic, Disney
okay.
magic.
Oh, Disney magic.
Yeah.
Disney's World of Magic. Did you hear this about the Disney people? They're, half the costume characters are like living on the street.
Yeah. They don't pay good wages.
No. Hey, that's the magical world of Disney for you in 2018. I told you. I was saying way back in 1995. We're on the wrong track here. This is why I wanted to talk about the current political climate,
right.
Which we can get to in just a second.
Well,
but you
yeah,
went to a magic
yeah,
show?
Yeah, before we get to that, let's talk about the current magic climate.
Ooh. Hey.
I went to a magic show this week.
Did I go with you?
No, you didn't. You paid for a ticket, and then you didn't come.
Tom, here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for a ticket months ago.
Yeah.
To see the great.
I feel like almost a year, not a year ago, but it might have been like last year I bought these tickets, right. Like late last year.
And who's the magician in question?
David Blaine.
Yeah, the only guy worth seeing.
The best living magician.
Yeah, except for maybe Teller of Penn and Teller. But he doesn't talk, so he doesn't have the opportunity to really
yeah,
boast
I mean,
about himself.
Yeah, I mean, when I say the best living magician, I'm talking like take everything into account.
Okay.
David Blaine is by far my favorite and I would say the best living magician.
Well, you're just, you admire him because he's part of Leo's pee posse, right?
Pee, what, they go around peeing on
no,
things?
No, no, no. I was using the letter P to abbreviate a word.
What word? Piss?
No.
Pee-pee.
No. Go on.
So I went and saw David Blaine.
Okay, wait. So like a year ago, you're like, oh, David Blaine's doing a show. You want me
yeah,
to get you a ticket?
Yeah, he's coming to town.
I was like, hell yeah, any price. I don't care.
Yeah.
How much were these tickets, Tom?
They were $120 each.
Yeah, $120. In the interim, a dear friend of mine, dear friend of my wife, a friend of mine, I did that. I clarified that to protect you, Tom.
What? Don't put this on me. I didn't say
in
anything.
In my head, I thought if the listener's going to think this is a dear friend of Tim's, how come Tom?
Oh,
wasn't?
I see.
Got engaged to be married, and her wedding was on the same night as the David Blaine show.
Yeah,
I didn't realize this because my calendar's all screwed up till about a week before,
mm-hmm.
and then. I was like, Tom, I can't go to this show. And you're like, well, who am I going to find to go to
buy
the show for
$120 ticket?
And I was like, holy crap, that was $120? I didn't pay you for this yet. Well, I should have never agreed to this. But I was like, look, I'll pay for the ticket. You can get some. But then you roped in our friend Paul, who you were just like,
friend of the show, Paul McKenna.
Yeah. And you were like, any interest in going to this David Blaine show? And he was like, oh my God, oh my God. Yes, yes, of course. You could have gotten him to pay $500 for that
the
ticket.
The two of us could have made out like bandits.
Yeah. I'm shaking him down. We're all seeing each other this weekend. Yeah. I'm going to shake him down for that money. He kept texting me from the show, pictures of the show. And I wrote a, hope you're having $120 worth of fun, buddy. But I don't think he caught on what I was trying to say.
No, he had also said, because like he sent you a message. This is all happening while we were sitting wing for the show to start. Yeah. Like, he's like, how do you put something on a picture? I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, how do I like put text on a picture? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I think you can do it from
go
here.
Go ask a teen.
Yeah. So... Oh, you know what it was? Because he saw me do it in Instagram. Because I was Instagram.
You're an Instagram story
teller. Influencer. An Instagram storyteller.
Yeah,
it's a my thought medium.
Thoughtpreneur.
Yeah, a thoughtpreneur.
Yeah.
You know, back in the olden
changepreneur.
Back in the olden times, elders would tell stories around the campfire. Mm-hmm. My medium. Is Instagram stories.
Wow, Tom.
That's where I tell my stories.
That is inspiring. Not just to me, but to a generation of kids that look up to you. Me and the rest of the kids really look up to you, Tom.
You and Steamboat Willie, you're our idols.
Yeah. Riding that train to the Instagram stories of Tom Reynolds.
So he saw me like do an Instagram story and he was like, oh, how do you do that with the text? And I'm like, it's in like Instagram. And he's like, well, how do I do it non-Instagram? I'm like, I don't really know. I don't do it otherwise. But eventually he figured out how to just like write with his finger on a picture.
Yeah.
And I suggested to him from now on, when you text him, you should text it by just writing on this picture of the David Blaine stage. That'd be a funny bit.
Right. Did he try to write like, I'll give you that $120 to reimburse you for the ticket?
No, but I'll tell you what, in Paul's defense, he bought me probably like $120 worth of drinks there. Hmm. And then even at the end of the
I don't know how that helps me at all.
And then even at the end of the show, he was still...
You were going to buy those drinks anyway, Tom.
Not as many as he was like, like, hey, I'm going to go get another one. You want one? All right. Yeah, sure.
You guys get blackout drunk at a magic show because like that, look, you can amaze a drunk. You could fool a drunk with any old
parlor
trick.
Yeah, but as long as he's not gearing it towards drunks, as long as he's trying his best, David Blaine,
yeah,
that's all that counts.
Okay.
No, but to the point where even like when we were on our way out, he was like, you want me to buy you a souvenir? Like he was like my like divorced dad. And I was like, no, you have to buy
Why
me a souvenir.
Why did he feel like he needed to pay you back for this
experience?
I don't
know.
Experience.
And I did, all joking aside, I did explain to him multiple...
Why didn't you be like, hey, buy something for Tim?
Yeah, all joking aside, I did explain to him multiple times. I was like, Tim paid me for the ticket. So like, I appreciate this. But, like, Tim's the one that you need to buy something for. He's the one that paid
Not
for
sure
the ticket.
Not sure I believe you, but I appreciate that you're at least
No, I
me
did,
this.
But he brought up a good point, which was, yeah, but you're the one who asked me to come. So, really, like, I wouldn't have
God,
this ticket if it weren't for
I
you.
Just should have let you... I should have put you in a tight spot for an hour until you were like, all right, I'll text Paul.
Yeah.
And then Paul would have been like, cool, how much do I owe you?
$500.
$500. Look.
We'd each split 200.
Look,
we'd be set.
I know we don't we wouldn't have to split it. I would just like to see a piece of it. I don't want half. I just want big. I just want give me $75 out of that. I walk away a happy man.
I just want a little taste of the grift you pulled on one of our very good mutual friends.
He is the most easily griftable friend of ours. We should start pulling grifts out of it and splitting the money though.
yeah we should.
No reason not to. He's always been, he's come on this show and explained how he's been susceptible to grifts in the past.
Yeah.
And scams and schemes.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing this?
He bought into that internet treasure chest.
Yeah. Paul's got money now.
Yeah. I know.
He's ripping off our friends.
He bought me all these drinks. And he would have bought me a David Blaine shirt if I had asked.
Well, anyway, how was the show?
It was good. It was magical, Tim.
Was it, or was it like feats of strength?
It was all over the place. There were feats of strength. There were feats of courage. There were feats. And...
What do you mean courage? Do you like stand up to his stepdad or something?
Yeah, at one point, like he called his stepdad. They hadn't talked in a long time. He put him on speakerphone.
Yeah. He didn't like, attack him though, right?
No, he didn't attack him, but he was just like, I just have to tell you, like, I've been thinking about a lot of this stuff, and I don't think it was cool, man.
Yeah, he couldn't verbalize it in a rational way probably when he was a teen, right?
Right, but now he could in front of, you know, a few thousand of his biggest fans.
Right. Were there thousands of people there?
It was at King's Theater in Brooklyn. Have you been there?
I haven't.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I would say it was like the size of a medium to smallish Broadway theater.
Okay.
Like set up very similarly, like
seats, a stage, a curtain.
Yeah, the stage was in the front, but okay. Not the front where you walked in.
Right.
You walk. Okay. Yeah, it was.
So
in
you
the,
think? Oh, front of the building. This is where the.
Oh no,
no.
This is where the stage
now,
is. Probably.
As soon as we get in, the front, the back becomes the front. Essentially.
Right. Yeah. The
it's a whole perspective. It's a real mind freak.
Yeah.
That's where,
it's kind of
that's
a
where
big,
Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Got.
It was like, wow, this is where the tricks are starting. I have no idea where they're going to end.
Yeah. Where'd they end? Hell.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Tom.
Yes.
What's your social battery like right now?
Beep.
Oh.
Boop.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Uh-huh.
Tom, I'll tell you from my perspective, since you're avoiding the question.
Uh-huh.
My social battery feels a little drained right now.
That was what that second sound was.
The getting
but
drained.
I had to do the going up to you, show you the going
you gotta
down.
Go up to get down.
That's what my first single's about.
It's weird. I feel kind of drained socially, even though you can attest I don't do much socially.
Yeah, yeah. And you enjoy social things. But
I do.
But
and
it drains you.
Yeah, I don't know. It can be very easy to ignore our social battery, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, and spread ourselves thin or just not know kind of like, you know, where the optimal socialization is for
you.
You
want to be a shut-in, but you can't be a party animal.
Yeah. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Mm-hmm. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more time alone. I don't know. Maybe you need a little bit of both. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Tom, we are, as everybody knows, very pro-therapy on this podcast.
Yes.
Anybody can benefit from therapy. It's not just for people, you know, dealing with trauma.
Yeah, or going through tough times.
Yeah, it's helpful for learning positive coping skills and setting boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, Tom. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, like you, Tom. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/complete guide today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/complete guide.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
All right. So the current political climate.
Yeah. Ooh. But
things are getting a little, look, I got thoughts.
Yeah, I do too, but I haven't finished telling you about what happened at the David Blaine show.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, slight detour.
Mm-hmm. But we'll get to the current political climate.
There's so much news to cover.
Yeah.
It's unprecedented. Yeah, What's happening in this country and in the world at large is unprecedented right now. Yeah. And
no historical...
precedent.
Precedent.
Yeah.
No, there have been a lot of historical presidents.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Let's name them. George Washington.
Yeah. Well, you got to start with George Washington.
The first
He's
guy.
He's number one.
Maybe not the best one.
Yeah.
Who's the best one? Lincoln, the great emancipator.
Yeah.
Did it all. Yeah. And with that big hat, right?
And with that high-pitched voice.
Yeah. Who could forget that?
Full school and 7 years ago, I'm Abraham Lincoln.
I never saw the movie Lincoln.
You don't have to see it.
To believe it.
Well, you have to see it to believe it.
I believe he existed.
So the show, first off, I've never been to this is the first time going to King's Theater. The staff all seemed nice. They did not seem like they had good management, though.
Like, you don't get out much, Tom. I feel like whenever you tell stories about... things you've done, you get hung up on like the ancillary details of like how I know you hate service employees.
That's not true.
And I know like the ticket taker wasn't deferential enough to me. I had real nice seats. They should have called me sir.
God damn it.
That's why I called her the B word.
What do you want me to do? Tell you how all the tricks were done? I know how most of them were done. I could tell you how most of them were done.
Really? I went to a magic show. The greatest magician in the world, Teller. He's hooked up with a big, boisterous man that just like talks a lot. I felt like I knew how all the tricks were done.
Yeah.
Maybe we're just savvy. We're magicians ourselves.
I thought you were going to say maybe we're just savvy mind freaks.
Yeah, a couple of dang mind freaks in here.
Hey,
freaking everybody's
mind. No mind freaks allowed.
From the inside out.
You know what? I knew how a lot of them were done.
Show me your mind. I'll freak the freak out of it.
I knew how a lot of them were done. But when you see somebody who's so good at them, then it kind of adds another.
Who, David Blaine?
Yeah. Then it kind of adds another level where you're like, I know how this trick's done. I'm going to look for the thing. And then, like, you're watching it, and you're like, I didn't see it. Like, maybe I don't know how it's done then.
You know who's good at that as well, Tom?
Who?
The devil himself.
Yeah, it's true. So we get into the theater. Well,
the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was when you thought you knew how a magic trick was done. But you just couldn't see him do the move that you thought needed to be executed.
So what you're saying is the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was a magic trick. It was a coin trick or a card trick.
It could be any kind of trick, Tom. Yeah. I think what you said applied to all sorts of magic.
Some kind of sleight of hand close-up magic.
Yeah.
Was the greatest trick that ever devil ever pulled.
So, I mean, what I'm implying here, Tom, is that since David Blaine did these tricks and you knew how they were supposed to be done and you couldn't see him doing the moves...
Oh, maybe he's the devil himself?
Or has some sort of direct line to hell?
Beelzebub.
Yeah. Or Beelzebub's house. The river Styx. Hades. Is Hades a thing?
Yeah, Hades is a thing. It's more Greek, I believe. The Greek idea of hell.
I don't care.
So, See, this is what it's like when I tell when I'm trying to talk to you about something. Yeah. He's going, I don't care.
Yeah, it's my personality, Tom. I don't care about the most of the things you say.
It's my shitty personality. Sorry.
Sorry, what do you want me to do about it? Been cultivating it for 36 years. Think you're going to change me? You're not.
So we get right up to the ticket taker outside the theater, or like inside the first lobby or whatever.
B word.
No, but she just goes like, right as we're the next ticket, she goes, this line's closed now. And we're like, wait, what? And we're like, well, can it be closed after us? And she's like, no.
Were you like, excuse me, I'm a white male.
No, but she was just like, go into the next line. But like, she didn't make an announcement. So basically we had to just like cut the next line and be like, sorry, we're like cutting.
Assigned seats, Tom?
Assigned seats.
Just go to the end of the line.
No, the end of the line was like around the block. That's what I'm saying.
Was everybody lined up outside for a while beforehand? What's
maybe.
Going on at this magic
show?
I mean, people so eager to get in?
Generally speaking, any big ticket, even if it's a ticketed event, there's still going to be lines to get in because they have metal detectors and all that. This was like literally this person would have scanned our ticket and then we would have the next 5 feet later would have been the metal detector.
Okay.
But we were told like this line's closed. You have to go in that line, which like, I get. Like I think there was a problem with her ticket, scanner.
Right.
So, but like, say there's a problem with my ticket scanner and then just like,
and then apologize.
No. Just very quickly say the other
tell
line.
Tell me I'm a great man.
Say the other line. I'm very sorry that my ticket, my machine's broken. These people are going to work their way into your line.
They're going to weasel. Are you okay, Tom? You see,
it's not weaseling.
You're
getting I'm getting very upset. I need my pills. So that happens.
Right. I asked you how the magic show went, not about how you got mad at a service employee.
No, I'm not done yet.
Who was supposed to take your ticket, and then her machine broke.
So that gets sorted out. Then I'm thinking, all right, great. Now I'm on Easy Street. But before I park my car on Easy Street, let me go to the bathroom real quick.
These men with their dicks.
No, I didn't even see any other dicks. It was like two unisex, individual single stall bathrooms and a line. And like, I think the thing I hate most in the world is people that walk
yourself
past a line of 100 people and go to like cut the entire line and then go, oh, are you all waiting? No, what do you think we're doing? Get out of here. I'll wring your neck.
What about you who just cut an entire line of people?
No,
because
that was
before.
Somebody else's fault.
That was justified. A service employee was an idiot. I get to go wherever I want, whenever I want.
It was somebody else's fault.
You were just...
Then this other
you were
woman,
just bemoaning how you had such a problem cutting a line and then immediately got so mad at somebody who was trying to cut a line.
Because they were doing it with ill intent. I was doing it with goodness in my heart.
What's worse, Tom? Obliviousness or ill intent?
Oh, intent.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Obliviousness gets me so angry, though.
I think there's a fine line between the two. Well, I'll get to how mad I was about obliviousness later.
Can you talk about the goddamned magic show? I don't care about the bathroom line or the ticket taker that wronged you.
We have to
talk about the state of the political climate.
Yeah. Well, this will give you this is a good primer because, you know, it's like, wow, if we can't get a magic show straight, what good do we have?
Election day is rapidly approaching. Uh-huh. We have to talk about the current state of the political climate.
This one woman, she cut the line because she said she was thirsty.
In the bathroom?
Yeah. She cut the line. Went to the bathroom.
A unisex bathroom?
Yeah. But she was like, I'm very thirsty. I just have to, and like just kind of walked in. And in fairness, she came out with, you know, like water all over her face. But it was, and like fairly quickly, but it was still like, yeah, but you still cut everyone. Like, sure, it wasn't as long, but like, I don't know, you still get in line.
I don't know. It seems to me like that woman was probably having an issue or something.
Maybe. That I'll give a pass.
Great. I hope she's listening, because to get a pass from you is a real feather in her cap.
When I'm walking out of there, they put a velvet rope up to block off where this little room where the bathroom was.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to trip over this rope.
Oh, my God.
And then the woman...
Did you ask to see the manager? Did you call the police?
The woman standing by the rope was like, there's a bathroom down there. I was like, why do I need a... I'm coming from the bathroom. Thank you. I do need to go again.
You've gotten me all worked up. I need to visit the bathroom.
I made a mess. I need to go again. So I get to our seats. I don't know.
Tom,
when does
the magic show start in this
story?
Soon.
I don't know if they didn't flash the lights or what, but the theater was like half filled before the fucking show started.
Okay. Maybe that's part of the trick.
No, because, well, you know what? You might not be wrong. Because they might have known, like, well, we got a couple of live ones here that are real good at picking up magic tricks. So we'll time it so that right at the climax of the trick, the entire row in front of these people has to stand up because somebody's coming in so they can't see the actual trick being done.
Hmm.
And then to speak about obliviousness for a moment...
Yeah.
The people next to me.
Do you have a good time anytime you,
not really.
You leave your home?
No, that's why I don't do it that often.
Okay.
Like a half hour in, the people next to us finally get there. These teens, Russian teens.
Well, you don't know that they're Russian.
They were speaking Russian to each other.
Do you know? Okay.
Do I know if they were teens? I don't know. They might have been in their early 20s, Tim.
Okay.
I'll tell you what they were there for. To get Americans' magic secrets, bring them back to Mother Russia.
I don't know if that's true, Tom. I think these might have just been teens looking for a good magic show.
So they were not there for the announcements in the beginning. So now every time, like, the climax of a trick starts coming up, they both take their phones out and start videotaping.
I don't like people who videotape at events. Or even take pictures. And you take pictures, so I don't like you.
They
guess what I was there. Cool.
By the fifth time they did this during the climax of the trick, I turned to the guy. I went, "Hey, they're gonna come yell at you, you know." And I knew they weren't gonna come yell at them because they weren't doing a good job at anything else. I had to take matters into my own hands, like
Tom,
a vigilante.
Wow, you're like Batman.
A little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
I was like, "Hey, they're gonna come yell at you. You can't take videos." He goes, "Oh, really?" And again, the obliviousness. And I couldn't help myself. I went, "Have you not noticed not a single person in this theater besides you two has taken their phone out in the past hour?" And they went, "Oh." And they put his phone away.
I don't think a teen would react that way.
He did. English was his second language.
He didn't understand a word you were saying.
No, but I was just
like,
so
an
mad.
Old man talking
because
to me.
That's what got me so mad. It was the obliviousness where I'm like, there's literally 1,000 people in front of us and not one phone out. Or how do you not comprehend? Oh, wait, maybe we're not allowed to take
our
phones out.
How was the magic show, Tom?
It was all right.
All right.
No, it was very good. I knew how all the tricks were done. So that was a little, you know.
Well, that's cool. Did you loudly explain that to
It's
Paul?
Under his arm. No, and you know what? There were people around me. Going to a magic show, you get a real hodgepodge of people. There are people that look like they, you know, just came from, I don't know where, the mud pit or something.
The mud, were they all caked in mud?
They were caked in mud. And then some people dressed to the nines in like tuxedos
what did
and
you wear?
Cocktail dresses. I wore a cocktail dress, a very tasteful
nice.
Cocktail dress. It wasn't that tasteful.
Slinky number?
Yeah, between you and me. Not a lot of taste to it. Not a lot left to the imagination.
Right. Well, that's what Paul requested.
But yeah, he said, "I'll go home. One condition."
Tim buys me $100, $120 ticket,
yeah.
And you dress real sexy like.
Yeah, I was like, "Well, you drive a hard bargain, but yeah. You know, we got to get rid of this ticket."
That's why Paul was like, "Hey, let me buy you a program. Let me buy you a deck of cards."
Yeah, now that you mention it, I think he was mostly just trying to like stick his claim because all these other guys kept trying to buy me drinks. And that's when he was like, "The lady spoken for, what would you like?"
Well, Tom, you hey. Do you do fill out a cocktail dress real nice.
I do. Yeah, but it was but a lot of real dopes like giving their opinions about, you know, like, oh, I think you, and it's always like the most insane, like, oh, I think like a drone came in and gave him another card. It's like, come on. No, the card was up his
a
sleeve.
What?
Like a drone.
Wait, who was postulating this? The teens?
No, idiots. Theater was full of idiots.
Wow, Tom. Everyone except you?
Everyone except me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shocking. Tom, can we please?
What?
I'm worried.
Okay.
The current political climate is disconcerting and distressing. And we only have a little bit of time to address what's being done.
What is being done?
Not a lot, Tom.
Okay.
And here's how people can get active. Do you ever ride the subway?
I do. I ride the subway almost every day.
Right. So sometimes there's people like handing out literature, right?
Sometimes there's people handing out litter.
Litter?
Yeah. You're like, hey, can you throw this out for me, pal?
Do you ever, I mean, the
you're getting off the train, throw this out for me.
The trash cans are kind of hard to come by in some places in this city.
They are, and don't throw
you
it on the tracks.
You ever go down near the Freedom Tower?
Yeah.
There's not a dang garbage can within like a half mile of that Freedom Tower. I can't imagine working there. You can't even throw out if you accidentally make a copy upside down or something. I mean, I guess you can just turn it over.
Well, I think the offices have garbages in them.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Or do you think the office workers are like, ah, oh, damn it, another upside down copy. Well, I gotta go all the way down the street to throw this out.
No, you can't throw it out of the street. You gotta like take a subway, like a stop uptown. Oh, man, I gotta go to...
Path
gotta
to
go
Jersey.
To 23rd Street to throw out this this freaking screw up I made.
Yeah.
Otherwise, on the subway, Tom, you ever see these guys, old doo-wop guys?
Not frequently.
I feel like I see them more and
mostly
more.
Mostly I
it's
see
like,
the Showtime guys.
Yeah.
That do like gymnastic routines on the bars and oh, God, I hate it.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm gonna get kicked in the head.
They're doing breakdancing, Tom.
No, because it's not breakdancing when they're like doing acrobatics from the bars.
Right.
And like just swinging. And like, look, I'm not very coordinated. If one of those feet comes close to my head, I'm going to accidentally lean into it and just get clocked.
In a panic, I'll just lean it.
So I see a lot
of. That's what your instinct tells you. Just like jerk my head towards the threat.
Yeah, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of mariachi bands, which it's simultaneously like, especially when it's like early in the morning and like a mariachi band gets on, I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. But I'm also thinking like this is kind of the funniest thing to happen. Like it's so early in the morning. Everybody's so tired. And here's literally a mariachi band that's going to be real quiet until they go. One, two, three, four. And then all of them are going to kick in at the same time with no warning. And it's going to startle everyone.
I swear to God this happened, Tom.
Yeah.
I was on a train to work. So it's like, you know, 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the 7 train and standing up by the door. And then on, you know how they move between stops. They'll play and then the train will stop and then they'll move down. There was a mariachi band in the car to the left of us, like ahead of us.
Yeah.
And a mariachi, a different one, in the car behind us.
Dueling mariachis.
Right? So, like, I could see, I was like, weird, two mariachi bands. It turns out, one of them was working their way up the train at every stop,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was moving down the train.
Okay.
So, long story short, next stop, both mariachi bands wind up in my car together, and I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, not enough room in this car for two mariachi bands.
Brawl. And I was like, what's going to happen? Is somebody going to pull a power move? Are they going to try to like out mariachi each other?
Is there going
to
be a Tommy gun in one of those mariachi cases?
Exactly. Is there going to be some sort of brawl?
Yeah.
A bloodbath? You know what happened? they all knew each other.
Yeah.
They're working the circuit together. They know. And lucky for everybody there, all these...
you got to hear an eight-piece mariachi band.
Nope, these two mariachi bands just went up to each other, shook hands, had a conversation, and all got off at the next stop.
Oh, so they were just talking shop then.
They were talking shop.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to have a dang trumpet blaring in my face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. The mariachis are so loud.
Yeah. Yeah, they're nice. I like it. They're good. Here's what I can't understand about...
They're always very tight.
Yeah, sometimes these three or four...
Trace or quattro.
Older men. No. These aren't the mariachis. They're doo-wop guys. And they're like, hello, everybody. They usually get around Times Square.
Uh-huh.
And they're old. They're like old men. And they walk up and down like, in the steel, beat up a new battle to die. Right? Yeah, there's always one of those guys. I can't tell if they're good singers or bad singers. Right.
Usually not a good sign.
I don't know. Sometimes on like American Idol or The Voice or something, you'll hear somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't tell if the judges are going to be like, you blew me away. That was the greatest thing I've ever heard. Or like, holy shit, what was that? That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Like, I can't judge somebody who's really going for it. I can't tell if they're good or bad.
Yeah, it's tough when somebody's like really going for it, because then it's like, are they just like really going for it or are they good?
Yeah. I always give these doo-wop guys money. Because
you want to join their band.
Yeah. I was like,
I'll be the young guy.
Yeah.
I'll be the young high-pitched voice guy.
Well, no. When
Frankie!
When one of you dies, I'll replace. That's the way they do it. Like, one time I saw, the Four Tops,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, three young guys and a really old guy.
teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was geriatric man.
I know what happened. Oh, there was, a teenager, and then, a guy in his mid-20s, and then a guy in his, 30s, and it was oh, as they die, they replace them with these. I just want to be
guns.
Hey, here's $2.
Keep me
on deck. Yeah. Here's $2 in my card.
Yeah.
Give me a call when one of your friends
when this
die.
Guy keels over.
Yeah, I pick the weakest
looking
one.
Point to him. Let him know. Yeah. Your job's mine soon, pal.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Tom?
Uh-huh.
Current political climate.
Yeah.
It's bad out there, Tom.
It is bad out there.
I've seen polls, Tom. We're more divided than ever.
Hey, I've sat on polls.
Hey.
Flag polls.
Yeah. What I do, I just touch them.
Right. Well, I sit on them to be sure.
Yeah. Well, you're doing, but what if...
You know, the kid that had the flagpole sitting record, he sat on the pole for 10 days straight or something.
Did he eat up there? Well, they sent birds to bring up things. They didn't have drones back then.
They didn't have drones back then, but I feel like back then birds were much they were much better training birds than we are nowadays.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work to train birds now. I think messenger carrier pigeons are at risk of going out of fashion these days, but with all these drones out there.
Yeah. Why are you going to have a carrier pigeon bring your message from one building to another when you have a drone do it?
Pretty soon it'll only be hipsters using carrier pigeons instead of most of us.
100 years ago, we had a much tighter grip on the animal kingdom than we do nowadays.
You think so?
Yeah, we had them under our thumb, especially birds.
Yeah, mostly birds.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still upset that we never learned how to harness the power of birds to fly.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Figure out how to get enough birds together to support a man so
I
the birds can fly a man somewhere.
Tim, I don't think it's a scientific question.
What do
I
you
think
mean?
It's most do we want to tie up enough birds to do this?
What? We don't have enough birds? We have too many birds.
It's true.
Everybody agrees.
Yeah. We're also not going to miss 100 or so sparrows to make a flying suit for you.
It's fine. It doesn't mean they'll die every time. It just means you fly a man from point A to point B.
I mean, initially.
And then you're free to go for the rest of the day. You come back tomorrow, you fly another man. You fly the man back.
Initially, probably a lot of the birds are going to die before they work the kinks out. Because what are you just seeing the man sitting in a chair that's tied to 100 strings tied to their feet?
That's part of it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Birds need like room to fly too. They can't all fly bunched together.
I don't know. I see.
No,
I
they can't. What do you mean? I don't know.
What do you mean? They flock together. Birds flock together.
They flock together, but they're not like you're.
If we could harness the flock, the power of the flock, we can't move one man along with all birds.
You're looking at them from the ground, and it seems like they're a lot closer than they are.
Like, you know.
I do know. I look at birds.
All right, so why do they have to be so close together? You just get longer string.
Yeah, that's... Sure, okay.
Look, I just think it's ridiculous that nobody's ever tried. We're burning all these fossil fuels, flying everywhere in airplanes.
We could be
using all-natural...
Birdseed.
Birdseed, yeah. I mean, they'll find food anyway. They'll eat...
Trash.
Yeah, they'll eat trash. They'll eat the food out of the people's mouths at the beach.
Take care of our garbage problems.
How many seagulls do you think it would take to fly you like a mile?
If the seagulls get tired, spring them to the beach. Have them steal some French fries from people.
Exactly.
How many seagulls would it take to fly me a mile?
Yeah.
Now all at once or like, yeah, all at once.
Yeah,
I'm
all
say.
At once. You think they're going to like work at shifts?
Yeah, yeah, switch them out.
Like 100 of the very strongest
well,
seagulls.
Well, because I'm just trying to think
one
how
at a time
many,
we'll bring you
how
five
many
feet.
Seagulls it would take to like lift me off the ground in the first place.
Yeah. 1,000?
Yeah, I'd probably say 1,000 seagulls.
Hmm. We can, look, we've harnessed the power of so many other
Yeah, of the
animals,
sun itself.
Of animals, Tom. Yeah. Oxen.
Yeah, but they don't have like 100 oxen plow your fields. And oxen move slower than seagulls.
I know, but what you make up for in speed.
Yeah.
Maybe only there's a weight limit. I don't know. I don't want to be the guy to enforce that, but maybe we gotta think practically here. Yeah.
Like, sorry, it's nothing personal, pal, but
there's only so many birds.
Only so many birds and only so much they can lift.
Exactly.
We're not made of birds here.
Yeah. I mean, not yet.
Right.
We
could
start
working on
things.
A suit made of birds, but it's not ready yet. Still
now that,
R&D.
Tom, now that's the first smart thing you ever said
yeah.
in your whole life.
A suit made of birds?
Yeah.
That could just be any suit if you just cover it in like honey and bird seed.
Hmm. Yeah, but they're not all going to fly together. There's
no,
going to be pecking
peck
at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like we've solved this problem.
No. Science still has a long way to go.
Yeah. But, unfortunately, Tom,
mm-hmm.
it looks like we're not going to solve the world's problems. Maybe we could. Maybe we still have some time.
To talk about the current political climate?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if there's enough time now.
It is. It does seem to be a daunting task. We needed maybe the full hour for that. To solve
well, we had it. I don't know what happened.
You know, sometimes you just lose track of time.
It's true.
If you like the show.
You can find out more at tcgt.com. You can check out our website, but I already said that. boy, I've really messed things up
what
big time.
What number beer is that, Tom?
This is number 4, and it's fine. Number 2 for the podcast.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
fine.
But if you had 11 beers before you got here.
I didn't have 11 beers. I'm still sober enough. I could have 1,000 seagulls fly me home, no problem. TCGT.com. If you want to support the show, you can support our sponsors. You can also check out TCGT.com/pledge for our Patreon, where you get weekly mini-sodes, and TCGT.com/Amazon, where you can do your normal Amazon shopping, but also support the show, this show in particular. You can check out our Reddit, TCGT.reddit.com. You can, what else? Oh, Facebook, facebook.com/completeguide. You can follow us on Twitter @completeguide. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @TomReynolds.
Follow me on those things @yourpaltim. Tom, yeah. I recommend that people take a look at your Instagram stories.
Hey, it's the medium
you're a
that
modern day
I
troubadour.
Like to work in.
Yeah. Tom,
mm-hmm.
I went and saw Radiohead this week.
Oh, yeah?
And,
boy, what do they have to say about the current political climate?
Not much.
They weren't like, is shit in it?
No. They were mostly like, y'all having a good time? It was Tom York, who's usually like, I was like, here's the guy that'll match me and, you know, pessimism and feeling bad about both the world and myself and just everything. And he was just like, hey, we're having a great time tonight, right? Hey, thank you for coming. Just like, and didn't even say, you know, and they just sang happy songs, Tom.
They just kept
playing
songs?
Yeah, they just kept playing. Well, they don't. They just kept playing that Partridge Family song that people everywhere, come on, get happy. It was weird. It was jarring hearing Radiohead play that for 2 hours straight.
Wow. Yeah, I could imagine. All just with smiles plaster on their faces.
Big smiles. Yeah. Jumping around, goofy. They had costumed, big, colorful costumed characters
like
come out.
Cartoon characters?
Yeah.
Steamboat Willie driving his train?
Yeah. With Pete.
Pete the asshole?
Yeah. But Pete was, even Pete was having a good time.
Oh, wow. They put their differences aside.
Yeah. Guess what? Because it was all fun and games at the Radiohead show.
Huh. Really something.
Yeah. It's a good show. I guess that's it. I think we covered it all.
Yeah. Hey, stay safe out there, everybody.
Hey, chin up.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Relax.
Hey,
take it easy.
Take a chill pill. Oh, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Take it easy.
Oh, and I said take a chill pill.
Yeah. Hey, and if that's what you have to do to take it easy, do it.
Hey, put your
feet
up.
We're not the cops.
Yeah.
You want to take a chill pill? It stays between us.
Yeah, I'm not gonna rat you out.
Hey, you got any more of those chill pills?
Yeah, I'm no narc.
Hey, how about a chill pill for your old friends, Tim and Tom?
We have to tell you if we're cops.
Yeah.
It's the law.
We like to relax.
And we'll tell you, guess what? Straight ahead.
Yeah. You don't even have to ask us. We're not cops. Just give us a chill pill.
Yeah. So I'll take chill pills. All day. Every day.
We'll see you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.